Welcome to the Fastest 5 Minutes, presented by Kroll & Mooring. I'm your co-host, David Robbins, joined today by guest host, Lorraine Campos, bringing you, as always, a bi-weekly summary of significant government contracts legal and regulatory developments that no government contracts lawyer or executive should be without.
In perhaps a unique exchange, on September 19th, the GSA Deputy Commissioner of the Federal Acquisition Service answered a lengthy letter that the Coalition for Government Procurement sent to GSA on August 10th, focusing on the Transactional Data Rule pilot program, posing 65 questions for GSA. The government answered each question and explained the government's position that the TDR is important for the government to move forward in category management and become better buyers through data. Through this pilot, he stated transactional data will help stakeholders move toward the government and industry partners buying as one activity and to understand where the government is buying. In advance of each schedule's mass modification and to promote greater understanding of the changes, he assured that GSA will hold industry webinars and agency executives will attend industry-sponsored events to discuss the TDR. Further, while he understands the desire to delay the implementation of the pilot, the on-schedule implementation will allow contractors to see the immediate benefits. Whether this bears out in practice remains to be seen, and there continue to be questions about the impact of this rule on contractors.
On September 14th, the National Archives and Records Administration, or NARA, issued a final rule setting guidelines for how federal agencies protect, release, and dispose of controlled, unclassified information. NARA is the executive agent for the program to implement Executive Order 13556 concerning controlled, unclassified information.
That same day, the DoD, GSA, and NASA proposed to amend the FAR to raise a dollar threshold requirement for the audit of prime contractor settlement proposals and subcontractor settlements submitted in the event of a contractor termination from $100,000 to $750,000.
Contractors should also be aware that the required minimum wage increases to $10.20 an hour on January 1, 2017, as part of the annual wage increases required by Executive Order 13658.
GAO also was fairly active during this period, issuing a number of assessments focusing on federal chief information officers and their operations. We cannot do them justice in a five-minute format, but we will list the titles so interested listeners can search them out on their own. The first was Digital Services Programs, Assessing Results and Coordinating the Chief Information Officers Can Improve Delivery of Federal Projects. The second, Federal Chief Information Security Officers, Opportunities Exist to Improve Roles and Address Challenges to Authority. And third, Information Technology Reform, Agencies Need to Increase Their Use of Incremental Development Practices.
See, Lorraine, I like these titles. They're really descriptive. We almost don't even need to summarize it, because there you go. You've got the conclusions right there. But they should be easily Googleable or searchable for anyone interested in more. In case law news, the Securities and Exchange Commission sues RPM International Inc. and its general counsel and chief compliance officer for failing to disclose a material loss contingency or record an accrual for a government investigation into potential False Claims Act violations when required to do so under governing accounting principles and security laws. The government alleged that the company filed multiple false and misleading documents with the SEC, including failing to disclose in its filings any loss contingency related to the DOJ investigation, or to record an accrual on its books when required to do so by accounting principles and securities laws. RPM, it's alleged, also fails to disclose in its SEC filings a material weakness in its internal controls over financial reporting and its disclosure controls when, in fact, such a weakness existed. Again, this is the allegations in the complaint. Therefore, RPM did not provide investors with accurate information about the company's financial condition. This case highlights a growing trend and need for boards of directors and corporate officers to monitor closely investigations and ensure all applicable requirements, including reporting requirements and auditing rules, are followed.
The Armed Services Board of Contract Appeals granted the appeal of United Launch Services, LLC, after the contracting officer denied claims where it found the government was responsible for the contractor's increased costs, including increasing a launch payload of 40% and moving the requirement from small to medium under the contract, and finding the government's action constituted a constructive change to the contract, warranting negotiations on changes not just for increased payload, but to the commercial value of the contract.
sort of surprising how much broader the negotiations went and what caused it. It's an interesting case. It's probably worth a read if you're interested. In bid protest news, GAO issued two organizational conflict of interest, OCI-related decisions, that are worth noting. In AT&T Government Solutions, the GAO sustained a protest challenging an unequal access to information OCI posed by a subcontractor to the awardee on a computer network operations and cybersecurity warfare operations contract. And the decision in A-squared joint venture highlights the importance of a pre-award challenge when a contractor believes the agency's planned OCI mitigation rubric is insufficient to mitigate an OCI, or perhaps some adjustments could be needed to be more permissive and invite other offerors. Here in this case, GAO found that the agency reasonably excluded an offeror from consideration for failing to mitigate an unequal access to information OCI and failing to comply with the pretty standard limitation on future contracting clause. It also noted the agency advised the protester about this issue during a conversation that occurred before proposal delivery. The disappointed bidder protested anyway, saying the OCI mitigation required by the agency was too broad. GAO called this argument untimely, saying they would have been properly raised in a pre-award protest.
This has been the Fastest 5 Minutes, brought to you by Kroll & Mooring. See you again in 2 weeks. If you have any questions about these items, David can be reached at 202-624-2627, and I can be reached at 202-624-2786.